Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. Your hosts, Dr. Dave and Venus Quintana, will entertain, inspire, and ignite your passion for food.
Welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. I'm Venus Quintana.
And I am Dr. Dave. Welcome, everybody, tonight.
Welcome, everyone. As you just heard, that was a song by Billy Joel, right? What was the name of that song?
Down Easter Alexa. So Alexa was his daughter, or is still his daughter, I hope. And he came up with this song. So it's about like a fisherman trolling out to sea and, you know, really trying to make a living, which has become harder and harder on the East End. And later on we'll have Captain Ralph on, so maybe he can share some of that. All right. And I do know that Billy Joel grew up in Hicksville, but he does live in Sag Harbor, so he's a true East Ender at the time.
Wait, he lives in Sag Harbor? He has a home on Center Island still.
He does, yeah. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely.
He grew up in Hicksville, and quite a good story there. He's quite the Long Islander.
He is quite the Long Islander, and actually we do see Billy around quite often on Long Island. In fact, he has knocked on the door of one of our $10 million listings quite frequently in Lloyd Neck, looking to buy, but...
I heard you didn't open the door for him.
Well, I wasn't actually in the house at the time. The owners were, and he's been very interested in this particular property, but... You know, it's one of those historical properties that you really can't do much with
in terms of
changing the structure and so forth. But we see him around all the time. In fact, just at the beginning of the year, he was seen outside Kotobuki, a very famous Japanese restaurant right next to my office, Douglas Elliman, in Roslyn, Long Island. So, yeah, he's a real local, right?
He's a local, born, bred, and just living his life out on Long Island. It's awesome. Awesome.
Absolutely. So... welcome, listeners. We hope you have had a fantastic week wherever you are, here on the East Coast or anywhere really in the world. We've had some fabulous weather, right? It's kind of feeling a little like fall is coming.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
We've
had a lot of rain over the last couple of days.
It's kind of cleared out
all that humidity.
Thank God.
And, you know, when we talk about Long Island and the eastern end of Long Island, which we're going to be focusing on for this show, you know, it's great to hang out on Long Island on the summer, but I just love Long Island at this time of year going forward all the way into October because you have all the wonderful festivals and, you know, pumpkin fests and, you know, apple picking and all that kind of thing. So activities on Long Island really do bring you right into October and even beyond depending on the weather. So I'm really excited to, you know, attend some of these festivals and events coming up in the next couple of months, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, the East End is a great daytime retreat for people that live on Long Island or in Manhattan or even up in Westchester, but it's definitely a destination place. I mean, we were out in Montauk, about a month ago, my love? And the amount of Europeans and international travelers that were there, It's really a great destination, and I have heard from many that they just think that the beaches on the eastern end of the Long Island are just absolutely amazing. So I really just love going out east. It's just a
I do too, but you
it's
know,
a relaxing thing. It's kind of like a kickback into
really
another
is.
Era sometimes,
but
too.
But, you know, it's interesting because when we talk about the east end of Long Island, there's two east ends of Long Island, right? One of them being the North Fork,
yes,
and one of them being... well, the South Fork, if you will, because obviously, you know, Long Island is broken up into two sides, right? The fork, one goes north and one goes south. So when we talk about the southeastern end of Long Island, we talk about the Hamptons.
Yes.
And that's a very a very specific kind of crowd.
Yes,
very
and there's
specific.
So many Hamptons, and each one has its own personality, and I think
its own personality,
yes,
and depending
without a
on
doubt.
Your personality, you're going to gravitate more towards the Hamptons, meaning the South Fork, or you're going to go to the North Fork, and they're both just very different places. I mean, the thing is, you know, if you live in Manhattan, you're called a Manhattanite,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you have your beautiful, you know, $5 million two-bedroom apartment overlooking Central Park. But, you know, in the summertime, what are you going to do? There's nothing to do. It's hot. It's blistering hot.
You take a road trip or you have a house out there. That's what you do.
You have a house out there, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll get on the Hampton Jitney or you'll take your car out there. It's, what, two and a half hour drive?
Well, no. Well, about an hour and a half.
I mean, if you're in David's car, you could probably get to the Hamptons from New York in an hour.
15, 20 minutes, no.
So I think it depends, you know, that some of the Manhattanites just love the South Fork because you have the Hamptons that really begins from West Hampton Beach to Quag to Hampton Bays to Southampton, Bridgehampton, and East Hampton all the way out to Montauk. And
yes.
It's just a little bit more lively, I would say, on the South Fork. You have all the little towns with all the beautiful, bustling restaurants. And, you know, a lot of the Manhattan restaurateurs are bringing their own restaurants out
yes.
to the South Fork. They're
yes,
bringing
they are.
That Manhattan
yes.
vibe out to the South Fork. But, of course, you have the beach and you have that whole kind of setting that you don't have in Manhattan. And I think that's really what draws the Manhattanites out.
Well, you know what? You know what, when we go out east, too, one of the things I really appreciate is you have all this beautiful old, you know, Victorian and primary established East End type of buildings and facilities. And then, you know, you go along the water and you have all these beautiful, beautiful homes that just are just breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. But we like the North Shore, North Fork a lot, too, because it's just such a – it's more quaint. It's more farm. It's like that whole – mentality of like taking it easy, the farm to table, the vineyards, and
yeah.
it's a much more, I would say, laid back environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas I think the South Shore for sure is, and the South Fork in general is a little bit more of a party atmosphere and what have you.
What's that? The South Fork?
Yes.
Yes,
definitely.
An absolute party atmosphere.
Yes.
It's just a little bit more built up, more concentrated. You know, the North Fork, again, is more kind of country, farm style. But, again, the best vineyards out there, some of the best farm-to-table restaurants, and just a little quieter. And it depends, again, on your personality. I mean, I like to kind of change it up. Remember, we
yes.
went to the Hamptons that time we drove out to Montauk, right? And it's just...
It was fun. It was a little too crowded for my liking.
Yes.
I mean, I've stayed at Gurney's before. I know you have. And it's nice when you, like, stay at a resort
mm-hmm.
or a beach
exactly.
combing type of place, you know. But when you go into the town and you can't park for 20 minutes just driving around and around just to go out for a drink or go
mm-hmm.
to a restaurant, that's not my vibe. That's just not my vibe.
Absolutely. So, actually, we have a caller on the line. Who do we have?
We have Elaine from Long Island, so I think we should bring her on.
The infamous Elaine?
Well, as far as I'm concerned,
no.
there's only one.
Hello, Elaine.
It's not the infamous. What do you mean the infamous?
Oh, you are infamous.
You are.
Are you kidding me? You should be proud to be called infamous, Elaine. We love you. You're a celebrity as far as we're concerned.
Listen, I told Dan, you know, I have a boyfriend, Dan.
Wait, so you have a boyfriend, Dan, and you're talking about Dan in the green room, or what are we talking about here?
Really?
I'm talking about your Dan in the green room.
All right, Dan in the green room. Go ahead. Tell
Wait,
us about Dan in the green room.
Wait, Dan asked you out on a date? What happened?
I'm upset that I had to call in tonight, and especially when I can't go see my boyfriend. I'm sorry.
Wait,
you
called
like
to see your
so
boyfriend?
Popular.
Why not?
Now, why can't you see your boyfriend tonight?
Because by the time I get off the phone, he's probably going to be doing other things.
So
I don't feel like doing tonight.
All right.
Instead, I will go to the gym.
Well, you should go to the gym. That's a great option. So let me ask you a question, Elaine. We're talking about the east end of Long Island. Have you ventured out?
I'm on the east end of Long Island.
Wait, do you not?
Love it?
I don't go on the east end of Long Island. You know better than that.
Why not?
Because I like my end of Long Island better.
Oh, yeah? What's your end of Long Island, and why is it better?
Right here in Nassau County.
So what is, all right, so you know what? Have you ever been to the East End to make that judgment?
No.
No? So here's the biggest thing I would ask anybody. Before you judge something, you must try it.
Yes, Elaine, please don't be closed-minded.
The East End of Long Island is so amazing. And as we were talking about before you got on,
ooh,
you have the North Shore, which is cozy, and you have the farms and the vineyards and these beautiful, quaint bakeries and what have you.
Yeah,
and then
why don't
the...
you get this boyfriend of yours to take you out to the Hamptons?
That's right.
How about that?
Okay, I have a favor to ask him.
What, you need a limo company number so he could drive you out in style?
That would be nice.
That would be the right way to do it, so keep going.
Who's going to pay for it?
Your boyfriend.
Your
Are
boyfriend.
You kidding
me?
Seriously?
I don't have such a sweet man like you have, Venus.
Well, you need to find yourself one. Let me tell you. You need to find yourself
okay,
one.
Okay, you want to give up after dating for a while?
I'm still in debt with her. She can't get me up yet. No. Sorry.
Listen, I'm a cheap date wherever we go. Come on.
Well, I don't know about that. We're going to talk about the North Fork table. I mean,
okay.
All right.
Wait a minute. I have a question.
Yes.
What are you doing, Venus, for Christmas?
God's sakes, it's barely September, and you're asking me for Christmas?
Well, you want to make sure you treat her the right way.
She's saying an engagement ring. I don't know. A tricycle.
A tricycle. Wow.
You know, listen, you're never too old to ride a tricycle. I didn't say what size it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm an engagement.
Hey,
listen. You start with a lump of coal, it becomes a diamond. So how about I get her a lump of coal, and she puts it under a pillow, and over time and compression and space, it'll become a diamond. Is that a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I got a better one if you want to hear me.
Go ahead.
Confession to get married so I can see the show.
Oh, well, it'll be much more than one specific show, 1 hour on Blog Talk. When that day is right and prime, it's going to be quite the occasion. So stand by America and the world, okay?
Mm-hmm. So, Elaine, we want to know, Elaine, how many pounds have you shed this week?
Nothing.
What do you mean nothing? Why? You better not be eating any dirty dogs or...
Tutti frutti, ice cream, yodel, friendlies kind of things.
Let's just say it this way. Today was not a good day, and today was a cheat code day, so I got to go back on my diet.
Well, have you listened to anything we said on the show and when we talk about, like, the whole weight loss paradigm, which is, you know what, we all make choices. And if you make a choice, you live with it. And then, right, the next day you just say, do I want to do this choice again today if it's not suiting me well and serving me well, or do I want to actually do something to better my life and my body? And I think you've actually done a pretty good job of balancing that out, no?
I'm going home to drink my 4 bottles of water.
Good girl.
I thought you were going to say 4 bottles of wine. Oh, my God, I was a bit scared right there.
Well, yeah, I do have that, too, but, you know, I know what's up to date to say to that, so I'm not even telling you that.
No judgments, my dear, no judgments.
Uh-huh.
And where is Woody? Where did you put Woody these days?
Woody? Oh, he's
in the asylum.
He's in the asylum.
Yeah. He's going to be there for a few days. But he's good. He's good.
You know, every quarter or so, we just check him in and just kind of do like a once-over, you know? he really tends to do well once we do the intake, get him in there for a couple weeks. He's good. He's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next time I see you, can you put me in one of those two, please? I need one desperately.
Absolutely. You have to choose North Fork or South Fork Asylum.
Because
this is all about the east end of Long Island.
No, I want the Nassau County Asylum, not the Suffolk County Asylum.
Oh, they don't even know how to do it right. We're going to send you out east. Padded rooms, beautiful ocean view. It's the best.
Yes, she could go to the Psych Asylum.
Can Dan come with me?
Can who come with you?
Dan
the juicy
Dan.
Man?
Ooh.
Yes.
You still got a crush on Dan.
You know what? I'm starting to get a crush on Dan. I mean, if
I really hope Dan's girlfriend is not listening in. I really hope so.
Oh, wait, you've got a girlfriend?
He does.
He has a gorgeous girlfriend.
Gorgeous girlfriend, third degree black belt. I think she was actually brought up in the I think she's brought up in the ranks of all kinds of martial arts. I do believe she's a UFC fighter too. So I mean, but she would welcome your comments about Dan.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Thanks so much for telling me that. He's got a girlfriend. Seriously?
Oh yeah, we met her.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful girl. The first thing she did was a little magic trick. She took a bar, or like a piece of rebar, and just bent it and made like a beautiful rose out of it. It was quite nice.
It was love at first sight.
It was.
Okay, I'm going to the gym. I see I'm not getting no sympathy on the station.
All right, my dear, you go to the gym. We're going to carry on with the show.
All right.
You
Thank
go
you.
Do a couple reps for us.
Yes.
Woo!
Buns of steel.
Buns of steel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are back and talking about the east end of Long Island. And Venus and I had a privilege of Friday going out to a restaurant that Venus picked. And why don't you tell us about it, Venus?
Yes. Well, I have actually been wanting to go here for a long time. It's actually in a town called Southold, which is probably about maybe an hour from where we are.
Yep.
And it's an amazing restaurant. I don't know how long they've been there, but it seems like it's been a pretty long time. And it's called the Norfolk Table and Inn and American Cuisine and Comfort. So it's a restaurant and also an inn.
You can actually
book a room. I mean, right now during the week, you'll probably book a beautiful room for about $200 a night. And it's a beautiful farm-to-table restaurant. And what I love most about it is that they give you so many dining options. You know, they give you an option of dining a la carte. You can get a three-course price fix for a set price. You can get a three-course wine flight for the price fix plus wines with every meal. And you can also get a Chef Stefan's five-course tasting menu. No, that's not my son. It's another guy, Chef Stefan.
mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely amazing. So they offer you so many different options and we ended up making a last-minute reservation as we were driving out there via OpenTable mobile app, which I highly suggest everyone
I uses. Love that. Great.
It's really just incredible.
Great.
And, you know, the wonderful thing about OpenTable is that you can actually acquire points, like air miles. You can acquire dining points. So for every restaurant, I think for that particular restaurant, we acquired 100 dining points. And, you know, you make the reservation online. The restaurant is very busy on the weekend, so we were only able to make either a 5:30 or a 9 o'clock p.m. reservation, which I wasn't about to do. So we ended up going out to the East End probably around 2 o'clock that day.
We did.
And we drove out there, and the drive is just so beautiful. You know, you're driving pretty much parallel to the water. You have the vineyards on one side, and it's just outstanding. And we ended up driving a little bit past Southold to a beautiful town called Greenport.
Yes, it was.
I can't even believe that I can say that I've never visited before.
I can't believe
never
that.
Never visited. I've been
no.
all the way out to Montauk, the end of Long Island on the South Fork. So David took me to Greenport, which was an absolutely gorgeous little town, because the thing is with the North Fork, there's no real towns, right? There's just nothing that you can actually go to that's like window shopping and little boutiques and that kind of thing that you will find on the South Fork. So we stopped off in Greenport and it was absolutely stunning. And actually one of my favorite bakeries out there called the Blue Duck Bakery.
Dirty.
Yeah, they also have one in Southampton. They're very famous
mm-hmm.
on Long Island and they have some of the best pastries known to man. So we actually cheated a little bit. And got,
wait, no. The best pastry is known to woman.
Mm-hmm.
That woman might have been from the good old UK, too, I just noticed.
It was just a little kind of crispy, apple turnover.
Mm-hmm.
That I carried around in my pocketbook for about 2 hours until I took a nibble.
It was on the lock and key, I noticed, too.
Yes. So we walked around Greenport and just so many wonderful boutiques, some beautiful little seaside shops, which I absolutely adore. And then we ended up at a place called Claudio's, right? Claudio's,
yeah. You went to Claudio's, I went to Claudio's.
And they, so they have their main restaurant, and then sort of on the water, they have more of a kind of casual style restaurant with a bar.
Yes.
And even, you know, obviously we weren't going to have dinner yet, so we decided to go hang out, and we had a $20 beer, because, you know, out there, things are very expensive. Very expensive. I mean,
yes.
It's like being in Manhattan, for God's sake. Because they know that all the Manhattanites are out there, and they know, and they're willing to pay the $20 for a beer.
Yes.
So we were kind of all cool with that. And so anyway, we were sitting kind of on the water, just drinking our beer, and I was looking across. And I said to myself, oh, what is this right, you know, across the way? And David told me it's Shelter Island.
Love Shelter Island.
And I said, wow, I've always wanted to go to Shelter Island. Like, I couldn't believe that I was actually looking at it. And Shelter Island, which I really don't know that much about, I don't know if you can speak to that, David, but we were basically glancing at Shelter Island, and we were looking at the ferries going back and forth, back and forth. And you can basically take a ferry that pretty much takes off every, I don't know, half an hour or so. You could put your
Almost like every 15 minutes.
Every 15 minutes. And you could basically put your car on it and drive over. And there's supposed to be some amazing restaurants, ice cream parlors, and other kinds of really interesting things to see, right?
Well, you know what I love about Shelter Island? I've been over there many times.
Yeah, but you're not taking me.
Well, you know, listen, you weren't around at the time. You were busy doing something else much less important than I was doing. But Shelter Island is really nice. So, you know, you can go from Shelter Island. It's Route 114. You can actually come up on the South Fork, go to the north side of the South Fork, which is Sag Harbor, and shoot across. Or you can go up through the North Fork and go to Greenport and take the ferry across. So either way, you can go completely around a beautiful loop of the east end of Long Island. And back before I shattered my pelvis, I used to bike out there, and it was just so amazing. It was so amazing. And then when you're out in Greenport, just go a little further east, and you can grab the ferry for Orient Point. So, I mean, there's
where
so many.
Where did that go?
Orient Point. I mean, to
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I think that's something that we should do one time, but. So anyway, we're hanging out there, you know, really sitting kind of right by the water, having our $20 beers. And there's a lot of boats out there, and I'm kind of looking at all the different boats. And I see this boat coming towards us, and I say to David, oh, that's one of those boats. What is it? It's called like a pencil boat or something, right?
No, cigarette.
And David, you know, obviously excused what I was saying, and he said, no, it's a cigarette boat. And I said, oh, yeah, those are the kind of boats that are used for kind of like racing. And it was this beautiful, like, interesting red color. And it's
like
coming,
offshore racing, yeah.
Yeah, and it's coming towards us, and it's actually coming towards us quite fast. And, you know, normally a boat, when it comes into the dock, it slows down, like it really slows down.
But not when you're a Guido
and
driving
David
the
cigarette.
And
David was looking somewhere else, and I have my eye focused on this boat, and it's coming towards us, coming towards us. It's not turning. It's just coming towards the dock. And I said,
but you know what? The guy driving
God.
The boat was looking at Venus. And he was doing like 40 knots coming in.
Let me tell
and
you.
And he hit this beautiful. You continue.
So he just kept going. And I heard the screaming. And the guy's trying to turn, but it was too late. And he literally slams into another boat that was docked there, that slams into the dock of the restaurant.
We all shake.
The whole
Ba-boom.
Dock just shook. And everyone was just, I guess, in shock. And then suddenly all you hear is, like, cursing from the guy that owned the boat, that the guy in the pencil freaking boat.
The cigarette.
Sorry, yeah, well, pencil.
Well, he was a pencil you-know-what, but
yes.
He was in a cigarette.
And so the guys are coming in, oh, you mother effing,
beep,
you
beep,
this,
beep, 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 beep.
And of course, everyone in the bar just turns around. It's just it's like this whole crazy situation that goes on, and so the boat comes in, and its whole right side is like completely mangled. Oh my goodness.
Now, folks, I mean, when you go out to the East End, you know, you have a lot of different caliber of people, and in Claudio's in Greenport specifically, on the weekends, it's so cool. You have people coming out for the day trips. You go have your roasted corn, you go for your wine, you go for your fresh produce, and you make it out to Greenport, and you have a little seafood, what have you. So on the weekends, there's a lot of bikers, which is really cool. They come in, and they kind of hang out in posses. But I must say, in the water, there are some seriously cool boaters. You have sailboats, you have powerboats, you have yachts, but you got this one class of the Guidos. They come in with their cigarettes and their high-speed boats, and it's just like pandemonium. It's truly pandemonium. And when we saw the cigarette come in, folks, I was like, seriously, what are you thinking? I mean, really, what are you thinking? I mean, you always slow down to come in.
No, that was crazy.
And dock. I mean, when it hit, I am telling you, it moved the dock that was probably 50 feet wide because
mm-hmm.
it was the restaurant's bar out there.
Right.
A lot of yucca pucks out there in life. But it was kind of fun because we had a cocktail and a show. It was fun.
That was a lot of fun. So, anyway, continuing on with our story, we ended up having a drink there. Then we ended up, you know, going around all the different shops. And we ended up going to this wonderful little boutique that sold all this beautiful handmade jewelry.
Yeah.
And, of course, David was kind enough to buy me a $2 bracelet, which I will cherish forever. No, seriously. It was the most amazing.
Wait. Can we really elaborate? It was an artisanal, handmade piece of jewelry.
Yes. That was actually based on Frida Kahlo. The
yes.
Artist.
Yes.
And it was all kind of like, you know, 12 layered flowers and all different kinds of metals and an absolutely stunning floral bracelet, which thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, my love. You're welcome. You know, truth be told, when you go to these boutiques and these, like, little artisans put their works into these boutiques, it's almost like a museum in a sense, right? So you have an area where you'll have certain people kind of like taking up like 5 feet of this wall, and they have all their paintings or their statues and their jewelry, and then you move on to the next area, and there's another artist or
right.
artisan. And I just love that. I just love it. I mean, you can't get stuff like this in a mass marketed.
You can't go to the mall and buy these kinds of things. So I it was absolutely a wonderful time. I think we're having some technical issues right now. Everything's okay?
You know what? Can you just do a quick voice check?
Yeah, testing. One,
okay,
two,
you're good.
Venus,
you're good. You're good.
House?
You're good.
Okay,
yeah.
So we ended up basically going from Greenport, driving back west to Southold, which was only about 5 minutes down the road, and we went to North Fork Table and Inn, which, again, I have never been to but always heard so many wonderful things about.
Yes.
And it's set in the most incredible kind of old colonial home and just very, very charming. So basically, it was this gorgeous, renovated old home. I'm not really sure about the history of it. And it was just absolutely amazing, right? Let's talk a little bit about that, Dave.
Yeah, I would actually love to do that. And I know we have a caller on the line, Glenn. Oh, should we just take him on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let's bring him on.
Yes, Glenn.
Glenn from the East End of Pennsylvania.
There you go. Yes, sir. How are you guys doing?
Glenn, we're awesome, brother. We are awesome.
We love your voice, Glenn. We love your voice.
You're like an elixir.
Oh, well, thank you, Venus.
You really are.
You're like a goddamn elixir. I love it.
Well, I heard you talking about craft shows, and I don't know whether I probably had told you before. I made and sold kaleidoscopes for many, many years.
Oh,
and
okay.
You know what? Let me give you my address because I should probably just let you know that I love kaleidoscopes.
You actually made kaleidoscopes, Glenn?
Oh, my God, yes. I sold to nationwide about 180 galleries, and then I had kaleidoscopes in Harrods in England. And
In Harrods? Oh, my God, this is incredible.
And Japan, and yes, I made high-quality, museum-quality kaleidoscopes. I was represented by the Smithsonian's Renwick Gallery, so a lot of prestigious places.
That's wonderful, Ben. Now, how did you get into that business?
Well, I was a tool and die maker for many years, and then I turned into a self-made wood turner, and then I made a kaleidoscope or two, and they really, really became the mainstay of a business. And then I got into manufacturing, and then I got into wholesaling them and then retailing them. And I went to a lot of craft shows, and I really loved the whole craft world. And like Dr.
That's
Day was
amazing.
Saying, it's some magical going on there.
Now, what did you most love about this, that your business and your industry? What was the one thing you loved the most?
Well, kaleidoscopes, of course. When I evolved into that, well, I started making those in 1984, and I retired in 2007, so I had a good run. And a kaleidoscope's an instrument that you turn the end or the chamber, whatever you call it, and you make patterns within that mirror system. And it's one of the only things that I know that's a real art form that you participate in, and you don't have to learn anything. There's no skill required, and every image that appears is unique. It'll never be seen again. So it's really cool.
I love that.
You know what,
yeah,
Glenn? I have a beautiful kaleidoscope right here in where we live in our bedroom. We have one that I just love. It's
you do?
Yeah, right over there.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a kaleidoscope.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Do you know who the maker is?
Glenn Straub, I think it said. Holy fuck, let me just check it out.
I'm
kidding, Glenn. I'm kidding.
Oh God,
I'm
Glenn
kidding.
You might have one of mine, though, but...
Wait, is it hand-signed?
Wow.
Wait a minute. It's a $500,000 piece of equipment
here,
Glenn.
Well, I wasn't quite in that league, Dr. Dave.
Well, you know what? I'm looking at Venus through the kaleidoscope. She looks gorgeous, Glenn.
Well, now, if you can see her through that, it has a ball on the end, and that's not a true kaleidoscope. That's a
I'm only kidding you, Glenn. I'm just jerking
well, no,
around.
No, there's an instrument that does that, where you can see Venus or anything you pointed at. And it's called a kaleidoscope, like a telescope and kaleidoscope combined.
Oh, wow.
Oh, kaleidoscope.
This is amazing.
Yes, instead of having objects inside, the whole world is your object, so anything you point it at then turns into a kaleidoscopic image.
I love it.
It looks beautiful. Yeah. You could probably see 1,000 of her. Wouldn't that be cool?
I think I would love that. I get what you're saying then. So you don't have, like, the color crystals in there. You just have, like, what, clear crystals or something?
No, mine were museum quality. Every ornament that was in the end that tumbled around was a hand-blown glass ornament.
By the way, Glenn, right now she looks like Christopher Columbus with this thing.
I can't stop looking into the
kaleidoscope. You know what?
You
would think she's looking for the new land, Glenn.
Oh, no.
Oh, she's got a new toy. You know what, Glenn?
I
will never get
it
again.
Uh-oh.
Does that neighbor look a little slimmer than she used to, or what?
Well, luckily it's a toy for her eye.
Wow, that's amazing.
Are you actually looking through at Venus?
She really was.
Tell
Glenn about what you're seeing.
Well, I'm seeing some, like, psychedelic craziness going on right now. It's absolutely
gorgeous.
Well,
that's it.
Glenn!
It was wonderful to be able to sell those because you hand them to somebody and the almost immediate response is, oh, wow. I mean, how good a profession is that?
Now, tell me, Glenn, very quickly, what goes into actually building a kaleidoscope? How long does it take to build one kaleidoscope? Like, I'm so fascinated with this.
Well, my prices range from about $150 up to $3,000 per kaleidoscope.
Wow.
So naturally, the $150 ones, my son and I worked together to make, and those were production kaleidoscopes. They were each handmade, but... we could do about 15 to 16, maybe 17 a week. The high-end kaleidoscopes, some of them took as long as 2 weeks to make, and most of them were one-of-a-kind pieces.
Oh. Now, do you still have a workshop?
Yeah, well, not a working workshop. The building is still there and a little bit of the machinery, but I retired in 2007. But you really have to have a good eyesight and... as age comes in, your vision goes further and further away, and then you need glasses, and it's really hard to set a perfect mirror system. The mirrors in a kaleidoscope have to be set at a very exact angle, and it's hard to do.
Right.
So
well,
anyway,
you know, Venus has still got good
eyesight,
Glenn, so we might have to send her down for a little
I can make some kaleidoscope.
6-8 month profit-making venture.
Hey, I'll do it. That's fun. Why
hey,
not? Let's go.
Glenn, do you apprentice? I mean, come on. Give her an apprenticeship. I'll send her there. I'll even feed her and give you room and board. Just teach her a new craft. Right?
Well, I might be tempted to steal her away from you, Dr. Dave.
Oh!
I would love it. I would love it. Well, you know what? We're going to bring Captain Ralph on right now on that note.
Let's bring Ralph on.
And you know what? You guys bid for her. Highest bidder gets her. Highest bidder gets her. Come on.
Hey,
well, I got to pay for the mortgage this month. So, all right. Captain Ralph, come aboard.
Hello, Captain Ralph.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Hi. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hello, Captain Ralph. Say hello to Glenn on the line with us, too, please.
Hey, Glenn. Very interested in the kaleidoscopes. I've been listening. It's very interesting.
Oh, cool. How are you doing?
I'm very well,
how
did
you get the rank
you.
Of captain?
Oh, you passed the test.
Uh-huh. I have a son in the Navy that's a captain, a real Navy captain, so that's why I was wondering.
Oh, no, I'm a six-pack captain. I do charters and
six-pack.
Six-pack? You have a six-pack? Oh, my
yeah,
God, I love it.
Oh, wait, you know what? Your bid's even less now if you have a six-pack. You don't even have to put as much money up.
Yeah, it's the
yeah,
it's
that's
the
right.
Smallest.
You can take her out on the water.
Yeah, for money. Yep.
I love it. I love it. So, Ralph, what have you been up to lately since we last spoke to you?
We've been planning the next shoot for the show. We're going to shoot Leah Fallon, who is an executive chef and is involved with Food Network. And
oh, okay.
To cooking some fresh striped bass and some clams, little neck clams. In September,
right.
We're going to do a shoot and at a private home in Quogue.
In Quogue.
So
oh, that's absolutely lovely.
Yeah, East Quogue, yeah, on the Hampton Bays line. And it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it. It's a beautiful home, a 5-star energy rating home.
Right.
That's really neat. I think it's going to be great footage for the sizzle and then for an eventual episode.
That's amazing.
That's
now,
great.
Does the chef have his own restaurant or he just does private
no,
events?
No, it's a woman. It's a woman.
Oh, my God, it's a woman.
Chef.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right. She's great, and she's a great chef. And so we're looking forward to seeing what she does with the striped bass. And the clams as well. And she's going to also catch on camera the bass with us and go take the clams with our toes. So it should be
you know what? Captain Ralph, the other day we were at the North Fork table out in South Hold, and Venus ordered an appetizer of, it was actually a wild striped bass crudo.
Ooh.
I'm telling you, Captain Ralph.
I've never had anything like that
it
before.
It was so fresh.
So fresh.
You didn't even need the sauce that was with it.
Right.
I mean, it was, I mean, honestly, it was probably the best version of that I've ever had. I mean, really, it was just so succulent and rich. And I would almost say like every bite had like a pearliness to it, like a nice pearl.
Right, right. Now, Captain Ralph,
yeah,
have you been out to North Fork Table and Inn?
Not yet, no. But the reviews on that place are great. Everybody
aren't
loves the
they?
Food there. Yeah.
They are actually probably voted the number one restaurant on the North Fork right now. And I was very, very
probably.
Excited about their menu. Very excited.
Oh, you would appreciate this, Captain Ralph. Venus had a halibut.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's say we have to say goodnight to Glenn.
Glenn
has to go.
Oh, sorry.
Betty
Bye. Betty
By
Bye.
The way, Glenn, the opening
yes.
bid for Venus is $121.
Uh-huh. We love you, Glenn.
No, wait. I want a bidding thing.
I was
going
to go up to $350.
Oh,
wait. I'm assuming this is $1,000,000.350,000, right?
Well,
you say $1,000,000.
You know what? She's worth all of that, Glenn, but we'll still have a conversation offline, okay, please?
Absolutely. Well, you guys all have a good night.
Good night, Glenn.
So
good night. Good night.
I love you all.
Bye. Bye. Oh, I love Glenn.
So we got a $12 trillion bid from Toronto.
Oh, $12 trillion. Oh, I'm liking that.
I'm putting you on the market. I'm just backing out. I'm just backing out. I'll let that happen.
Oh, goodness gracious.
No, but seriously, Captain Ralph, I mean, to be out on the East End and enjoy all these different, you know, farm to table, and what's this whole thing, biodiversity?
Biodynamic.
Yep. Biodynamic
farming, which you've been learning a lot about. Now, Captain Ralph, let me ask you, what is your favorite part of Long Island? Do you prefer the North Fork or the South Fork, and why?
Ooh, that's a good argument to start.
Isn't it?
I'm a South Shore guy. Partial to the South Shore, but you know, there is benefits to both sides. You know, it's what you like. Like, a lot of people on the North Fork really like the North Fork, and it has it's great. It's got more vineyards, and it really is a really pretty place. But when you grow up on the South Shore, you kind of like partial to it. And
right.
You love the ocean side of it. So,
yes.
Instead of the bays and the sound.
So for you, though, as a man on the sea, you know, and fishing and building a whole career around that, is it the waters of the South Shore or the vibe of the South Shore?
Oh, say that again.
Well, you know what, like, the North Shore is, again, like, they're more like country, quiet, laid back.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the South Shore is a little bit more hustle bustle, but you being a man of the sea, is it that you like the South Shore because of its geographic location or because of the vibe of the South Shore?
Right.
It's the geographic location for me.
Okay.
I mean,
that's right.
The traffic and the vibes is sometimes annoying. But the proximity.
Oh, I'm sure.
The proximity
to
get out in the ocean is much better. It's
right.
Such a far ride for people, you know, on the North Fork. It's much further.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you should dive on wrecks and stuff, Captain Ralph. Is there more wrecks on the South Shore than the North Shore?
Yes. And much more and better visibility underwater.
Makes sense, yeah.
So it was so much shipping going back and forth between Boston and Philadelphia and New York that all those boats before radar was, you know, really invented, you know, crashing into each other and storms. There were no tractor trailers back then, so everything went by water. So there was so much more boat traffic back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. So there's a lot of shipwrecks.
Well, you know, statistically, too, Captain Ralph, I bet you there's probably a lot more car wrecks on the South Shore than the North Shore.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, too. There are shipwrecks up around the North Fork and in the Sound and everything, but they're very tidal-oriented. Like, when you go diving, you have to wait for slack tide because of the way the water rushes in and rushes out on the tide cycle. So it's much more complicated. Our dives on the South Shore in the ocean, there is no tide that affects when you go. So it's not.
But
as
I mean, how many feet deep do you need to dive to get to your average wreck? Average wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're all over the place. I got a really good old tugboat that we go to off Southampton that's in 60 feet of water. Has like 1,000 sea bass right now, just using it as a home. It's unbelievable footage. Actually, my wife has edited a couple of nice clips we've been filming because the water clarity this year for diving has been the best in the past 10 years. So
now, why is that, though? Because it's been pretty hot and what have you. I mean, how is that the case?
No one really knows why. It's also one of the worst tuna seasons off the South Shore, too. So I don't know if those two things are connected or not, but we're just taking advantage of it, trying to get a lot of video of the shipwrecks, because when you can see underwater that far, it's not quite like Florida, but it's really spectacular. And, we're Facebook friends now, so you can watch
them
as I post them. Yeah, you said yes.
I did?
I sent requests to you and you said yes.
No.
Come on.
So now you can watch the videos.
All right, I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah.
A little slow in the uptake sometimes. That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's very much in demand these days. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, you get a nice view. Maybe you'll have some questions about certain apps.
Well, you know what?
Exactly.
One of the things I love, too, like Peconic Bay and like the Peconic Bay scallops, I mean, tell people about how sweet and buttery they are. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, they're delicious. Yeah, they're delicious.
Are they the small ones?
That's in September that will start.
Now, can you explain this for our listeners, too? So the other day we had what they call dry boat scallops. So they were fresh shucked. And you know what? They weren't
day
in
boat,
that like.
Wait a minute. Day boat scallops. That's right.
Day boat
scallops.
Yeah,
yes.
Dry boat.
Day boat. Well, they weren't drinking on the boat, so I called it a dry boat. But it was day boat scallops, and I'm going to tell you, Captain Ralph.
Insane.
Oh my God! We made it with the risotto and some baby spinach, with a citrus beurre blanc. Oh my God!
Basil.
How does that differ from what most people know of the sea scallop when they go to their, you know, fish purveyor?
Right.
Well, the fish purveyor would also have access to day boat scallops. So day boat scallops are just what that says. They were caught not necessarily caught that day, but caught in one day. Sea scallops for the general public are caught on big boats, like 100 feet, 110 whatever. Steel boats, they go out for 7 days. So it takes a day to go out there, they fish for 5 days, and then a day to come back. So that's the difference when they're out there for a week. So the scallops that are caught on the first day are 5 days old when they get back to the dock.
Okay.
And take it from there.
Day boat
scallops is the guy went out in the morning, came back that afternoon, and those are the scallops that went to the fish market or wherever they went.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we sautéed those in did we do the cast iron skillet? I believe we did, yeah? I think we even patted them dry one more time, sautéed them in just butter, and I got to say we took the reduction of that, took the scallops off. We did some fresh orange and lemon, like a nice
basil,
European
butter. Reduced it down. Absolutely gorgeous, right?
You know what? I don't care if you're the Main Street Tavern or the North Fork Table or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
They were so good.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent. Great dinner.
Yep, you can. See, that's the whole thing. You can do it yourself. And it will come out spectacular. If you have a good product to start with, it doesn't take much. It's already flavorful, and you just, you know, you guys are
now,
chefs.
Do you play with cast iron when you saute fish? Like a good old-fashioned cast iron skillet?
Andrea does. My wife is a fabulous cook and has done scallops many times, different ways. She's perfect at, like, winging it. But you got to remember, that's the deficiency in my skill set as far as cooking goes. I'm the guy that gets it, though. I have a good
chance
getting it.
You know what? Listen, you get the fish, there's no problem. I mean, you can't cook good fish unless you catch good fish, so I get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of mad at myself that I haven't really taken up the torch and learned how to cook well, but it's just something I'm not ready to do. It's on my bucket list, but I'm just a little too busy right now.
Oh, well, you know what?
We totally understand.
You're doing what you're doing.
It just cooks for me, so. You know, there's no
incentive. Hey, listen. You know what? If you don't have the incentive to cook, why should you? So, you know what, Captain Ralph, get us up to date with some of the things that are going to be going on for you in the near future.
Yeah.
Well, we're still collecting footage and filming for the new improved Super Sizzle that we're going to release.
Right.
And there's going to be two. I don't know if I told you guys. There's going to be a 5-minute with, really quick, shows what a season one would be like with four chefs and a lot of different hunt footage and the fishmongers and all that stuff. And then we're going to do an extended version, a 15-minute one that's going to include even more of the season one chefs and even more footage. So we're working on that now, and it's pretty labor-intensive as far as the editors go, you know, because I give them so much footage they have to sort through. And we're doing the storyboard now where you take each 3 to 5 second clip and you put it in order, and you have to get the story to go right because we want to be able to tell the story. We want people to be able to watch the 5-minute sizzle and know exactly what the series is about without
Exactly. So you know what, Captain Raff, tell everybody how they can find you on the web, on Facebook.
Well, they can
Facebook.
Follow us. We're really getting better. Yeah, well, you can follow me on Facebook with Seafood Safari TV. That has its own page, and that has some good stuff. And I also, like, share other really interesting stuff that people give to me because I have a lot of friends on Facebook. So I'll get really neat videos on my wall that I'll share to Seafood Safari TV and leave there. So there's some really cool stuff in there that I leave there. We just had an event. I went to an event where they had all the food trucks in at the Hay Grounds Bridgehampton.
Hay Grounds. Yeah, I've been there. That's great.
Yeah, they had a fundraiser, and they had all the food trucks come and circle up like a rodeo. And it was neat. You went from truck to truck, and you got to taste what they were doing, and it was really neat. We went to support two of them. So that was neat. And they had a bunch of breweries there, too, you know, with their beers and stuff. So it was good.
Oh, that's wonderful, Ralph. Well, we're very excited that you're doing some incredible things right now, and we can't wait to talk to you again about everything that you're doing. So thank you so much for joining us again tonight. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. And again, if anyone can check everything out that Ralph's doing, go to www.seafoodsafari.com. Thank you so much, Ralph.
You're welcome. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Have a great night,
too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Be well. You know, I was just watching a little bit of his Seafood Safari TV on Facebook. He's got some great video footage, so everybody should take advantage of that. But I'm hearing Krusty the Clown coming on here.
You hear Krusty the Clown?
I do.
Really?
I hear him.
I
hear him in my sleep. I hear him in my nightmares.
Really?
He's there.
Weird,
wacky.
Weird and wacky. Well, I don't know if I have too many weird and wacky things for us tonight, but just some really kind of Long Island interesting facts. I mean, I love Long Island. I've been living here now for, how many years? 1996? 20
well,
years?
Well, ever since you were extricated from the UK.
Ever since I was kicked out of the UK. So actually it was March of 1996 was my first
year. Wow, well, welcome to America.
I'll never forget my internship. Suffered through the first of the crazy snowstorms of 1996, April. We had like freaking 6 feet of snow. Do you remember that, 1996?
No, I don't. I remember that, but I'm sure you are right.
I was 18, 19 years old, and I'll never
forget. Really?
So I've always loved Long Island, and of course, you know, I always promised myself that I would come back someday, and here I am. Here I am. So just some interesting facts about Long Island, nothing so incredible. But so apparently Long Island's first two settlements were Southold, which we were just talking about, which is where Norfolk Table and Inn is located, in Southampton. And these were actually settled in 1640.
1640?
Yeah.
Just a tad bit before you got here?
Yeah, just a tad bit.
Yep.
Just a tad bit.
Yep.
Now, when we talk about Long Island and the East End, of course, the furthest most point of Long Island is Montauk.
That's correct.
And that is the furthest point that you can reach on Long Island before you fall into the ocean. So the lighthouse, Montauk Lighthouse, is one of the most beautiful places on Long Island. Is that our producer singing on the? Is that Woody?
He was. He was on his ukulele.
Gentle singing. Is that Dan? I think that's Dan or Woody singing.
Their G strings are very tight right now. They got a little higher pitch in their voice.
The G strings are very tight. Well, thank you guys. Thank you for. That must be Dan singing. Dan singing and Woody on the ukulele. Thank you so
much,
guys.
Ukulele.
So I've always loved the lighthouse at Montauk, and I used to take my mother there, God rest her soul, many, many years in a row, and we always used to hang out. We used to go to Gurney's and so forth.
Oh.
But did you know the lighthouse at Montauk became New York's first coastal beacon in 1796?
I did not know that.
Well, now you know.
And I love knowing, so I love that. Thank you.
Did you know? What's your favorite supermarket? Stop and Shop or King Cullen?
In general?
Yes. I've never liked King Cullen. Why is
that? Stop and Shop? No, I used to go to King Cullen, and King Cullen had a subsidiary called Wild by Nature, and I did a lot of cooking shows there. So I guess technically I
really?
Should say, yeah.
But why don't I see many King Cullens on Long
Island? I think King Cullen in of itself is no longer around. I know there's been a lot of changes in the whole scene. Like Walbaum's is gone, right?
Right. But did you know?
I did not.
That America's first supermarket, King Cullen, started on Long Island in 1930.
Really?
Well, that's why they're not around anymore. They needed to retire.
I think so. I think they got a little tired. But the only working water mill and windmill in the U.S. are located in the Long Island community of Watermill.
Watermill.
We love Watermill.
We do.
When we drive through Watermill, going through the Hamptons, we see on the left-hand side that beautiful Watermill. And I always say to myself, oh, my goodness, that reminds me of Europe. And it's absolutely, absolutely gorgeous.
Stunning, stunning, stunning. If you haven't seen it, you must go there.
Now, did you know that more 7-Eleven coffee is purchased on Long Island than in the whole of California?
Wait, come back on that one again.
7-Eleven coffee.
Yes.
People purchase more 7-Eleven coffee on Long Island than in all of California.
Well, we were in Montauk, as we had discussed, and I went into a 7-Eleven. I don't remember for what. And when I went in there, it was the biggest 7-Eleven. It was like the Walmart of 7-Elevens. It had beach chairs and blow-up. It was.
Amazing. 7-Eleven is just
It had two or three lines. I've never seen a 7-Eleven like that.
Unbelievable. And my last interesting fact is Deep Hollow Ranch in Montauk is the site of the oldest cattle ranch in America. Built in 1658 and birthplace of the American cowboy.
Yeah, boy, giddy up, giddy up.
Giddy up.
Mau, mau.
So, you know, and of course some of the best kind of prodigies and you know, musicians have come out of Long Island, right?
Oh, well, yes and yes. But do you know, like, the Rolling Stones used to frequent Montauk, and there's a place called the Memory Motel.
We spent the lonely night in the Memory Motel. Oh, it's on the ocean. I guess you know it well.
You know what? You go out to Montauk and you will pass that on the right side, and I must say, you know, it just conjures up feelings of the days past when the Rolling Stones were out there, and there's a great place in the center of town called the Shag Wong. And if you go in there, it's kind of like
Shagadelic,
baby. But if you go in there, it's a little dark. It's a little Shag Wong-ish. And
you want a shag?
I do want a shag. Are we almost done with the show? We're almost done with the show. So the Shag Wong is really a cool vibe, and all along the sides of the wall are all different musicians and famous people that were there, and I must say the Rolling Stones have a lot of pictures up on the wall,
mm-hmm.
i.e. the Memory Motel, which is just down the block.
Yeehaw.
Giddy up, giddy up. Oh, you know what, Venus? I got
to
run. I got
to
run.
All doctors to the ER.
So here I am running down to the ER. I think I just barely got my scrubs back on, but here I am.
The shrubs?
Scrubs, my love.
Scrubs.
Scrubs.
Scrubs, okay.
So I thought we'd talk about mint tonight because it's such a wonderful, fragrant wonderful, wonderful way to spend the summer just exploring. So we have a lot of mint going on outside, and the things I love about it is you could do it so many different ways. We put it in like a watermelon martini.
Ooh.
We put it in iced tea. We do it with the
feta
and the watermelon, right? You could do it so many different ways, but the medicinal qualities of mint is it's great for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly, truly a great palate cleanser. I mean, who hasn't had, like, lamb with mint on the side, right?
Hello. My mother, for Christmas, used to make the rack of lamb and she made her own mint sauce. And we're not talking about this shit-ass jelly. This
no.
mint jelly that you get in these tins. No. She would make the best mint jelly from
mint jelly. Oh,
mint.
Amazing. But it is great. I mean, you could have it in so many different ways, in salads and flavors, sweet savory,
ice cream, you name it. Amazing stuff.
But here's some of the wonderful things, Venus. It's good for asthma. It's good for nausea. But I have actually seen studies, and with Dr. Dave Health, our transformational medical weight loss solutions, we actually put a little bottle of essential oils, of mint, because it actually has been shown to be a stimulant. It's been shown to increase alertness, but it also has shown to reduce your appetite.
Now, let me ask you, there are different kinds of mint, spearmint,
peppermint.
So how are these different? How do they differ?
Well, there are little mini different genus species. Like peppermint's a little bit more, how would I say it, super refreshing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spearmint's a little heavier, denser, you know, so there's all these different mints that we have. So look out on the deck. We had this mini mint. You remember how we had that? Like the leaves were a little smaller.
I think that's spearmint.
No, it was basic mint up, but it was just a smaller leaf, so it was really nice. But what I love about it, too, is it's got a lot of qualities. You know, if you can increase your alertness and your memory, it actually thins out mucus, and you know what? It reduces flatulence. So
I need to eat more mint.
I think you need to eat more mint. I think Dan, the juicer man in the green room, needs to eat more mint, and our producer needs to eat more mint. So everybody's getting a mint plant for Christmas. So that's all I'm going to say there.
Oh, yeah.
And believe it or not, it's good for acting.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, so since our producer's going through puberty, I'm going to send him up two plants. But mint's wonderful. It's just digestive. It's anti-inflammatory. It's got so many different great problems to it that become great solutions. You know, if you think about how you can get a little bush of mint or you can get some fresh mint. I mean, don't get dried mint. Get fresh mint. It's so abundant.
You have to get fresh, right? I mean,
right?
It's just so amazing. So.
But I talk about the problem, as I said before, because I have grown mint previously, and it just takes over everything. It just grows and grows and grows and has no boundaries. But if you keep plucking it back or using it, you will be fine. So mint is the herb of the day.
Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing.
Holy
so,
smokes.
Well, guys, I mean, you know, we've pretty much reached the end of the show, no?
I think we have. I got to call Glenn and see where his bid's at right now. We got a big Toronto consortium up there that's putting a lot of money up. So before the night, you will be up on the block for a good auction.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, thank you to everyone listening to the show tonight. And, of course, it's coming up to the end of August, which means the prequel to Labor Day.
Yes.
And that's actually going to be, I believe, next weekend. So isn't next week's show maybe going to be a Labor Day show or something of that nature?
Well, you know, we have so many things that we need to think about. I think we have to have a team meeting because we have so many things that are coming up. We have Women's Equality Day on August 26th. We have Labor Day we could talk about. A big thing is we have the...
Wait a minute. I don't think we're going to do a show.
When?
Wait,
well,
are we going to do a show?
Not
on
Memorial. No, not on Labor Day. Yes, we're taking that off.
Yeah, I think we might all be a little
tipsy, whipsy, and
tipsy,
yeah.
Right?
But you know what? We have a great, great debut coming up on Saturday, August 27th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have the first release of the Ask Dr. Dave show.
Oh, goodness gracious. Great balls of fire.
Golly, golly, golly. So I hope everybody's there for that. A little different vibe of a show. We're going to get a little bit more serious. It's going to be a Saturday morning show. We're going to really talk and explore all the different assets and premises of health and how we can get you feeling better, looking better, and having a great life. So that's something I'm looking forward to. So
that sounds like a
yeah.
Lot of fun.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Memory Hotel. Okay, so again, thank you all our listeners for joining us. Really have a wonderful week. Enjoy the incredible free fall weather that is upon us, and we will be joining you, I guess,
next Monday. So I don't think it's the end of the summer yet. Next Monday, yeah.
Absolutely.
Good night, all.
Cool. Bye.
999.